At 11, Health Watch discusses the hidden cause behind a wide array of health problems with the author of The Thyroid Problem. And at 11:30, it's Between the Lines, a weekly radio news magazine. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one easily by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Inner Boy Workshop at the Portland Underground Grad School on Saturday, January 14th. Marking the first anniversary of David Bowie's death, they'll look at illuminating moments in his career for inspiration to break through creative blocks and make work that shatters convention. Bowie's intense energy flowed into any media available, from page to song, stage to film, to canvas. What source did he tap? Join them and find your inner Bowie. Again, that's Saturday, January 14th at Southeast Uplift, 3534 Southeast Main Street. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of Hollow Sidewalk's Year of the Field Mouse record release show, Wednesday, January 18th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Holocene in Portland. Year of the Field Mouse is the second album by Hollow Sidewalks. Also playing the show is Slutty Hearts and Shadow House. Again, that's the Hollow Sidewalks record release show, Wednesday, January 18th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
It's good to be here with you today, Brittany, especially on a day when we have such good news. We have Laura Weens joining us as well.
Yeah, we've got a very special guest for you guys. We have the APWU president, Mark Dimenstein. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and glad to be here.
Here's the drum roll. You know how we've been working so hard on this Stop Staples campaign? We have the great news that we have a victory on our side. Staples is going to be taking the United States Postal Service services out of their stores. So tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, we received the good news very recently that the deal is off between the United States Postal Service and Staples. And the problem with this deal was never that customers might get more access to postal services. We want that as the American Postal Workers. We want expanded services. We want enhanced services. We want people to get access when it's most convenient to them. But the essence of the problem with the Staples deal, there were actually three. One was that those postal services, or so-called postal services, were not going to be provided by postal employees. And so the public, the postal customer, was not getting trained, accountable postal employees that knew how to and were dedicated to protecting the privacy, sanctity, and the security of the mail. And, of course, along with that, the other two major problems was one, the problem of a thrust towards privatization, because the more and more post offices, in quotes, that were put into staple stores and other retailers like them, then it becomes people are going to get services or not get services based on whether somebody can make a quick buck. And that's not what the Postal Service is supposed to be. It's supposed to be there for everybody by our Constitution, by our right of the people. And, of course, the third problem, which is a great concern to all of us, and I know all of your listeners, is this was really a transition and a shift of decent paying and benefited union jobs to low wage non-union jobs. And so for all those reasons and with all of your help, and a lot of people in Pittsburgh were involved because Pittsburgh was one of the pilot sites of this kind of privatization scheme. Through all many efforts over the last 3 years, a lot of labor solidarity, a lot of support, and a lot of action by our membership, this deal is now over and we're very pleased.
That is great news. I know that over the past couple of years, we have been out on the picket lines. We've seen people out
That's
on the
great.
Picket lines in front of the Staples stores. And it's not just your union that has pushed the boycott on Staples this last couple of years, which I assume has now ended. But there were a number of other unions that were in the fight as well. Talk to us a little bit about how other unions were able to support you guys in making sure that this victory would happen.
Absolutely. And by the way, your comment is right. The boycott is over. As of now, the products will come out over the next 6 weeks. But we have called the boycott off yesterday. In terms of labor solidarity, it was crucial. But here are some key examples. The AFL-CIO, the 12 million member AFL-CIO, endorsed the boycott. And on their official boycott list, Staples was placed on there. So that had a huge impact. The two giant teacher unions, the NEA and the AFT, both endorsed the boycott. Just think about the impact of teachers staying away from office supply stores when it comes to back-to-school purchasing and so on and so forth. We were invited to have information booths at the teachers' conventions. The president of the AFT, Randy Weingarten, and I spoke at a rally outside of one of their conventions. And their members and the NEA members were encouraged to join the boycott. UNI, which is the global union, Staples does business in 26 countries, they endorsed the boycott and encouraged their international affiliates to do what they could to pressure Staples. So those are some examples. We also had central labor councils, state federations all over the country. Pass resolutions to endorse the boycott, as a number of national unions did as well. So this was really a collective effort of solidarity that played a major role in bringing this victory about.
Absolutely. I think it's always heartwarming to hear that unions are sticking together. I think that I'm sure that the teachers boycotting buying supplies at the Staples had a huge impact on it. And, of course, your members being out there and being on the picket lines obviously
right.
made a big difference.
Right. You're 100% right about the impact of the teachers' unions. I think it was absolutely vital, and it was great that it happened. And of course, we as a union stand very much in defense of the teachers and the teachers' union struggles to defend public education against privatization. So we're in this struggle together.
I think someone we can also thank for this is the public for their understanding, because I know whenever we were at some of the rallies, I mean, I've been out there handing out flyers with the other members, just talking about, you know, like people would come up and ask, oh, well, what's the big deal? Like, why are we boycotting Staples? And people were actually, they were really receptive to it, and they
right.
really understood it. And I think that we had a really good message, and it was a strong message, and it was simple, and people got behind it. And I think that really helped us.
I think so. And we had reports. We had In six major metropolitan areas, we kept regular leafleting, educating that you're talking about with the public. We kept that on for 2.5 years in six major metropolitan areas. And our reports in all of those areas are exactly what you just shared. People would listen, and many people would choose to honor the boycott. you know, people understand in this period of this really growing and obscene income inequality and wealth inequality, the last thing we need is a transfer of decent paid union jobs to low wage, poverty level, basically jobs. So people related to that, and they also related that they want good postal services and they want their mail protected and handled by the people that are trained and obligated to do that. So we felt that support from the public all over the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, while we have you on the phone, I think it's always a worthwhile reminder. So how much, again, does the post office cost taxpayers in spending every year?
Well, that's always the great question, because the answer is zero. But the privatizers of the world tend to have people believing that the post office is subsidized by the taxpayer. It's not. The post office revenue comes from the users themselves, those of us who buy the stamps, mail the packages, purchase money orders, send express mail, rent a post office box, and so on and so forth. And when you think about it, it's marvelous. It's a system that serves the entire country and beyond on a universal basis, no matter where we live, who we are, what color is our skin, what's our gender, what our income is, and we all have that same right. And it works great, and it's the cheapest postage in the world, and at least in the industrialized world, and can sustain good living wage union jobs, which helps sustain our families and our communities and our country. So what a win-win for the people. And the problem with these deals like Staples is that's a losing proposition for the people of the country. We got to have that public postal service in order for the system to work. And if I can add, you know, a lot of people say, well, the e-commerce, you know, the internet, we don't need the post office anymore. Mm-hmm. If we don't have the post office and a public infrastructure to deliver to every home in this country, e-commerce is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the post office changes, the way people do business changes, but now we're, instead of shopping, we're ordering online, and guess what? We need a post office to get that package into every address in this country, and all without taxpayer money. Zero.
That's right. You know what I like to say? If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Pretty good motto, I think. I also think it's funny that, you know, everyone thought this would be the demise of the post office. I'm pretty sure I get more mail now.
Well, you know, look, I don't want to show my age to the public too much, but I have grown children, and they use the post office differently than I do. But guess what? They use the heck out of it because they shop online much more than I do, and they probably get more mail than I do. It's just they probably get more packages than letters. I probably get more letters than packages. But we're all using it, and we all need it. And listen, the post office is vital. You know, it's a small D democratic right of the people. It's the way we communicate. It's the way we share information in a day where the internet is not secure and so on. This is probably the most secure private communication left to us. Huge amount of medicines that people need are delivered through the mail, periodicals, the exchange of ideas, and so on and so forth. So there's plenty of mail. There's going to be plenty of need for it in the future. And, of course, you tie e-commerce into that. And there's no reason, as long as we keep it in the public domain, that the future of the post office and the people's right to the post office shouldn't be bright for generations to come.
Well,
and
I
while I have you on the phone, and I know a lot of your listeners, not all of them are in Pittsburgh, we want to thank the labor unions of Pittsburgh, the labor movement, and the people for what they did to help bring this to a positive end.
I definitely agree. And guys, we've got to run. We are running out of time. But real quick, President Dimenstein, before we run, last words for the listening audience.
Well, I think the last word is that solidarity works. And having the confidence that we can win. And even though it looked a little bit like David versus Goliath, we always felt that if we stayed the course, kept it in the streets, build our alliances with the rest of the labor movement and the public at large, that we would win this battle. And I think that's a message for all of us going forward. We know there are going to be plenty of battles, but it's very important for us to know that working people can and will win if we stick together and fight.
You've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or WilkinCPAS.com.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. America's electrical grid, an engineering triumph of the 20th century, is turning out to be a poor fit for the present.